Exodus chapter 34. And our text this morning is that verse 8. Exodus 34 and verse 8. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. As we've said, I want to deal with the subject, the truth about true worship. When Moses was in the mount with God, we are told that he made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. He worshipped. A word that means worship. We worship God because he is worthy. He is worth worshipping. As we read of the 24 elders who fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Revelation 4, verses 10 and 11. Man, of course, is not worthy of worship. And certainly idols are not worthy of man's worship. Only God. Only God is worthy of our worship alone. When the thousands in heaven fell upon their knees in worship, they did so saying, Worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. The Lamb is worthy of our worship. He is worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Now the word worship in our text is the Hebrew word shekah. The word shekah means to bow down. It is first used in scripture in Genesis 18 and verse 2, where Abraham bowed down to the three heavenly visitors, one of them being the Lord himself. That's the first reference to this word shekah, which means worship, which means to bow down. To bow down and worship. Now Moses is in the presence of the same Lord. And he conducts himself as Abraham did. Now believer, in this day of changing fashions and trends within churches, we would do well to remind ourselves of how we ought to worship God. We ought to safeguard ourselves against these modern trends and notions and ideas that have been introduced into church worship. We must continue in the old paths. We must make sure that there is no removal, as the Bible speaks of, no removal of the ancient landmarks of true biblical worship. I have heard some outsider denomination, and sadly, some within our own denomination, that regard our form of worship in the Free Presbyterian Church as being too dull or too conservative. personally, I don't care. If our critics regard our form of worship as being old-fashioned or out of date, if the way we conduct ourselves in worship and the worship of God is based upon the teachings of Scripture, then we have absolutely nothing to be ashamed of. As a church and a denomination, we have our failures and our shortcomings. I would be the first to admit that. But it is our desire and the desire of all of our ministers in our church services to have a form of worship that is as near to scriptural worship as we can possibly be. That is always my desire. And by God's grace, always will be. A worship that honors God. A worship that has the Lord Jesus as the focus of attention. Not the man, but Christ, the focus of attention. And to conduct ourselves in worship of God in such a way that is honoring and pleasing to Him. Moses on the Mount affords us a good example of how God ought to be worshipped. There are many examples, of course, in Scripture, but I want to take this example which Moses sets before us. The first thing I want to notice here regarding this, the truth about true worship. I want us to look at Moses preparing for worship. Yes, before Moses went up Mount Sinai, Moses prepared for worship. We are told in our text, and Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. But before he worshipped or engaged in worship, Moses made preparation. Believer, we ought to prepare for worship. Every time we go up to the house of the Lord. This is now the second time that Moses was called upon to spend 40 days and 40 nights in Mount Sinai with God. He was there to receive the Ten Commandments for a second time. You recall how he descended the mount before and saw the worship of the golden calf, and in holy anger he cast the tables of stone down and broke them. Now God has summoned him again to the mount to receive the Ten Commandments once more. Now what is remarkable about the 40-day period in the mount is that according to verse 28, Moses did neither eat bread nor drink water. Isn't that remarkable? That he spent 40 days and 40 nights in the mount with God and did neither eat bread nor drink water. It will be nigh on to impossible for the average church member to comprehend how a man can be so taken up with the things of God that the appetites of the flesh are given so little attention. I know we couldn't spend 40 days and 40 nights without bread or drink. But as one commentator wrote, quote, those who can hardly stand for a worship service at church to go beyond 1 hour, or for the preacher to go longer than 20 or 30 minutes, are light years away from the spirituality of Moses. And I believe that's true. And as another commentator said, you can often tell how spiritual a man is by his attitude to worship. Moses certainly had the right attitude. So taken up with the things of God, so taken up with the Lord and the worship of Him, he never thought about his bread and his water. So how did this spiritual man Moses prepare for worship? First of all, we must take note of his request. Before ever Moses ascended the hill of the Lord, he presented a request to the Lord. Look at chapter 33 and verse 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. In other words, Moses prayed. Do you notice that? Moses prayed before he went to worship God. He knew that he was going to meet with God, the God of Israel. And at that meeting, he wanted to see God's glory. Show me thy glory, he prayed. How many of us this morning prepared for the worship of God by spending time in prayer? What did we pray for? Did we ask for a view of Christ? Did we say, Lord, oh, that we would see Jesus today? Or did we pray with Moses, Lord, on this Sabbath day, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Did we pray that this morning? Did we ask for a word from the Lord? Did we ask the Lord to give us a heart that would be ready to receive that truth, the truth of God? Did we say, Lord, give me a heart that pants after thy water brooks? Give me a soul, Lord, that thirsts after thee, O God. How did we prepare for our morning worship today? Did we pray for the saints? Did we pray for one another? Did we pray for the servant of God? Lord, bless the preacher this morning. He needs thy help. Did we pray for souls? Did we pray for our own souls? How did we prepare this Lord's Day for the worship of God? That's how Moses prepared. He asked the Lord, Lord, show me thy glory. But not only do you have the request, you've also hear the requirement. Before he entered the place of worship, the Lord made known to Moses what he required him to do. He's going up the mount at God's command. Just as God commands us to worship him, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. God commands us, he calls us to worship. And the Lord had called Moses to come up the mount. And when Moses ascended the mount, met with God, he worshipped him. But the Lord set before him certain requirements. Verse 1. He speaks to him about the tables of stone. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first. The first meeting with the Lord on Mount Sinai, the Lord provided the tables of stone. On this occasion, Moses has to provide for them himself. Hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. So you can see what was going to happen here in this mount. Moses was going to receive a word from the Lord. And that word was going to be written upon tables of stone. That was part of his preparation. He had to bring those two tables of stone with him up the mount. And you know, believer, that is part of our preparation. No, we don't bring like Moses tables of stone. But we bring tables of flesh. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 3, "For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart." There it is. And we come this morning to the Lord's house to worship Him, not with tables of stone, but we bring before the Lord the fleshly table of our heart. And that's part of the preparation. Lord, I pray, write upon my heart thy word. Put thy word in my heart. As thou didst put the word in the tables of stone, put thy word in this table of flesh. Hebrews 8 and verse 10, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. Believer, if our worship of God is to be true worship and we are to receive anything from our worship, then we need to bring before the Lord our hearts. Isn't that what we are to engage in, believer? Isn't it to be heart worship? Too much of this form of worship today. You go through all the motions. But where's the heart? Isn't that what the Lord said about the Pharisees, the religious leaders? Oh, you draw near to me with your lips. You pay me lip service. But where is your heart? Your heart is far from me. And I fear, believer, and I'm speaking honestly today and saying that I feel so often in our worship of God, our heart isn't in it. We pay the Lord lip service. So as Moses brought the tables of stone to God, that he might write his word in those tables, let us bring to the Lord our hearts. Because listen, if the word of God does not touch our hearts during our day of worship, we receive nothing from that worship. If our hearts have not been touched, if our hearts have not been challenged, if our hearts have not been changed, we have received nothing. We have gained nothing from our worship. You may have a head knowledge, but it's the heart knowledge that is needed. It's when hearts are touched by the Word of God that lives are changed. So you have the tables. Those were the requirements. One of the other requirements has to do with the time. God required Moses, he said, be ready in the morning, verse 2, and come up in the morning onto Mount Sinai and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. Mark the words, be ready in the morning. The Lord said to Moses, be ready. Be ready for worship. Be ready in the morning. Moses was to be ready. Now this word that's translated be ready here has many meanings. Many meanings. But all the meanings all point in the one direction to do with preparation. For example, the word means be certain, be fashioned, be prepared, be set in order. All to do with being ready for worship. And I look at those meanings that bring me back to my childhood days when I was at home with my three brothers. Now you know that I was not brought up in a Christian home. I had a good mother and father, but it was not a Christian home. And we were sent out to Sabbath school in the morning and then to church. We walked home and got our lunch. We're sent out to Sunday school in the afternoon and then church in the evening. And one thing that I always remember about those weekends and the coming up to the Lord's Day, everything was made ready on Saturday night. I remember my mother would have our clothes all ironed and pressed and set out and all ready for the morning. Our duty was to clean our shoes. Make sure your shoes are cleaned on Saturday night, because if you don't clean them on Saturday night, you'll not be doing it on the Lord's Day. This was the standard of parents who were not saved. And if your shoes were not cleaned on Saturday night, you might have had a new suit on. You went out with dirty shoes because you weren't allowed to clean them on the Lord's Day. We were sent to bed early on Saturday night. We were usually sent to bed early most nights, but especially Saturday night, because we had to get up early to go to church the next morning. And I remember that well. You know, I believe we ought to maintain those same principles today. The Lord said to Moses, be ready in the morning. God said that. This was God's command. It was God's command to Moses, and I believe it would be God's command to us. Be ready in the morning. Moses was to be ready in the morning because he was going to worship God the next day. And I believe it's good to have everything ready on Saturday night. I also believe, you can call me old-fashioned if you like, I also believe it's good when God's people get to bed early on Saturday night so that they can get up early the next morning and be ready for worship. No point running to all hours of the morning and expect to get up the next morning fresh and ready to worship God. Be ready in the morning. God said that. Notice another requirement, his tarrying. You had to bring the tables of stone. The Lord mentions the time and then he mentions the tarrying. The Lord told Moses, be ready in the morning and come up in the morning onto Mount Sinai and present thyself there to me. Mark the words. Present thyself there to me. These words mean stand for me there. So you get the picture. Moses was to make ready, be ready in the morning. He was to have the tables of stone ready in the morning. He was told that one day. He was to have it ready the next for the next day. And he was to come up the mount. And he was to stand for the Lord. He was to stand before God on Mount Sinai. That was to be his station. He was to be there to wait for the Lord coming down and standing with him. Moses was to be there first. He was to be in the place of worship and good time. There to tarry and wait for the Lord's coming to him. Does this not teach us also that when we come to worship God, we ought not to be rushing into his presence? We ought to be here in good time. It's the Lord's command. The Lord said, present thyself there to me. Be there waiting for me. And this is all part of the preparation for worship. It's not as if this is something new. I've preached this before. But I believe it's good when we come into God's house on the Lord's Day morning that we take our place and we bow our head and we remain bowed for a season in quiet prayer. Lord, make ready my heart. Lord, bless me today. I give you an example, I believe, one time before, of a dear man in my church in Newtownabbey, Mr. Rolfton. Mr. Rolfton had a dear wife whose body was racked with pain. She couldn't go out, she just sat in her chair there, her easy chair in the house. Mr. Rolton had to get her up in the morning and get her washed and get her dressed and get her breakfast. And he would leave her there in the morning and he'd wait for our church bus to pick him up. And he would come to the house of God. Mr. Rolton would come into the service and he would sit with his head bowed. People were coming in, finding their places. Mr. Rowland is sitting with his head bowed in prayer. I'm sure for about 5 minutes. And after the meeting was over, he would go home and get his wife her lunch. And again, he'd be ready to come out again at night. He loved the Lord. And he himself did not enjoy the best of health. And Mr. Rowland told me on many occasions when I came to the door, he says, I'm just so thankful to be in God's house today. Just so thankful to be here. He had all those things to do. That's the point I'm wanting to make. He had to get his wife up in the morning and get her washed and get her dressed and get her breakfast and have everything ready. And whenever it came to the worship service, I would look down. I knew the pew he would sit in. Mr. Rolton was always there. On time. Waiting to meet with the Lord. Waiting to meet with the Lord. I believe it's good. I believe it's necessary for us to be in the Lord's house a while with bowed head. Tarry a while in the Lord's presence. get ourselves prepared to receive the word. Be in the spirit of worship. Next, you'll notice the restrictions. Moses was to come up the mount that day alone. He was to have a personal meeting with God. He was to come up the mount alone. Therefore, the Lord placed certain restrictions on that meeting. Verse 3, the Lord said, "And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before that mount." All these restrictions regarding the mount simply go to emphasize the holiness of God. That's what this is all about. Making Moses aware that he was in the presence of a holy God. Could you imagine what it would be like for the holy God to descend and to be speaking with Moses while the flocks and the herds are baying and roaring all around them? No, there had to be an atmosphere about that mount that was in keeping with the presence of a holy God. What did the psalmist say? Psalm 46 and verse 10. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." We come into God's house and into God's presence. We come to exalt him. God says, "I will be exalted. In the earth I will be exalted among the heathen." This stillness in the place of worship would not be acceptable to many churchgoers today. We saw that on Wednesday night. And we viewed that DVD that our brother Reverend DeCaneo put together of all those interviews with the so-called church leaders in the States and other places. And there was a worship service. And the keyboard was turned up full volume. There they were clapping and hands in the air. Plenty of excitement. Plenty of noise. Plenty of activity. That's what people want today. It is. That's what people want in their worship services. Plenty of noise. Plenty of activity. Plenty of clapping. Plenty of excitement. God says, "Be still." And know that I am God. And these same people would prefer a platform or a stage to a pulpit. They would rather have a PowerPoint presentation than the preaching of the word. And I tell you this, that form of worship is more common today than perhaps you and I realize. We saw a sample of it on Wednesday night. A form of worship service where there is stillness, reverence, and a holy awe for a holy God. Those kind of services are few and far between. But let us, believer, endeavor to maintain that kind of service. We don't want to compromise in any way. Sadly, over the past number of months, I have heard of young people who have left our churches. These are young people who have been in the free church maybe for their lifetime. And sadly, they've left. Why? I'll give you a number of reasons. One, they leave because we will not use other versions of the scriptures. The ones who bring other versions into the house of God, and as a free Presbyterian church, we will have none of it. And so some of these young people have left because they want to have other versions that their friends have that go to other denominations. So they leave. They leave because they want the Free Presbyterian Church to have contemporary Christian music in their services. What is contemporary Christian music? Just another name for rock music. That's what it is. Oh, you can put the name Christian on it, but it's nowhere near Christian at all. It's rock music. And they want us to have rock music in our churches. Well, we're not having it. And because we won't have it, these young people have left. They go to these churches that have all this thing. They leave because they feel that the Free Presbyterian Church is too strict when it comes to our dress code. Our ministers don't want our young women to dress like women of the world. And I'll tell you something. Some young women dress today as if they were harlots. They profess to be saved and they dress like women of the street. And our young people leave. Because they don't want to accept that standard. You know what the bottom line is? And I was just talking with one of our senior ministers in the past week. We were going over this matter. And we came to the agreement to agree on this point. The reason why folk are leaving, or these young people are leaving, is because our church isn't worldly enough. That's it. Just not worldly enough. And I would believe too that that's why some folk wouldn't come to us and worship with us. Because we're too straight-laced. Too strict when it comes to worship. Our services are too conservative, as I was told once. That judgment is not a gauge of their spirituality, anyone who says that. It's a gauge of their carnality. God says, be still and know that I am God. For I am God and there is none else. And when Moses came into God's presence, he made haste, bowed his head toward the ground, and worshipped. There wasn't another man with him. There was stillness. He was meeting with God on a person-to-person basis. Isn't that what worship is about? We come to meet with God on a person-to-person basis. I must press on very quickly. And you notice Moses not only in his preparation for worship, Moses in the place of worship. Notice Moses and his readiness. The readiness to worship. Verse 4, And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and rose up early in the morning. There's his readiness. And went up unto Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. The Lord had commanded Moses, be ready in the morning. And the verse 4 says, Moses rose up early in the morning. There's his readiness for worship. Looked forward to it. I don't know about you, well, I'm sure you do. I look forward to the Lord's day. I look forward to going up to the Lord's house. I look forward to worshiping God. I look forward to singing the psalms. I look forward to singing the hymns. I look forward to meeting with you. I look forward to ministering to you. I look forward to this. I love the Lord's day. When Abraham was called upon by God to offer up his son Isaac, we read, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. And then the next verse says, he said, when he came to Mount Moriah, he said to his servants, abide ye here, and I and the lad will go and worship. He's going to worship, so he rose up early in the morning. Moses was going to worship God, so he rose up early in the morning. I like the words of Robert Murray McShane. Holy McShane. McShane used to say that he liked to get up early on the Sabbath morning because he wanted a long Sabbath. And yet how many of us leave it to the last minute before they rise up on the Sabbath day? Little or no time for preparation. You know how long it takes us to do this and do that, how long it takes us to get to the house of God, and we just leave it right to the last minute. Where's the preparation then? Moses rose up early in the morning, and it says he went up. He rose up and he went up. You see, that's what it is. Whenever you worship God, you're going up. You're getting on to higher ground. In our day of worship, we're leaving the world behind. We're leaving it outside, as it were. And we're going up. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. His readiness and his revelation. In verses 5 to 7, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him. I like that word. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him. We're thankful when the Lord stands with us in times of trouble and times of sorrow. Are we not thankful the Lord stands with us in our times of worship? What would our worship services be if the Lord didn't stand with us? And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. And verse 8 says, and Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. A revelation of God. First of all, that revelation came in answer to prayer. Isn't that what Moses prayed? Lord, show me thy glory. And the Lord did. Showed him his hinder parts. Moses saw the glory of God. This was an answer to prayer. And we come in the Lord's house, to the Lord's house on the Sabbath day, having prayed, Lord, come and meet with us today. Believer, you never know what the Lord will do. in answer to prayer. You never know how the Lord will visit us in our times of worship if we pray beforehand. You have the answer and you have the Almighty. Moses was in the presence of the Almighty, for he passed by and proclaimed the Lord God. The literal reading is, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, Jehovah, Jehovah God. And Moses made haste and bowed his face toward the ground and worshipped. He was in the presence of the Almighty. The presence of God. And the attributes. How did the Lord reveal himself to Moses? As Jehovah, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness, truth, keeping mercy, forgiving iniquity, transgression and sin. Seven attributes in all. And all to do with the goodness of God. See, the Lord was teaching Moses about himself. People don't want that today. They don't want a teaching ministry. They don't want to be taught about God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. You have the response of Moses. He made haste. There's his willingness. He willingly worshipped God. Oh, that we might have that same willingness to worship God. His worship, when Moses realized that he was in God's presence, he knew the only thing for him to do was to worship. This is ever the result when the Lord condescends to reveal himself to his own people. You remember when he revealed himself to Joshua as the captain of the host of the Lord? We are told Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. Joshua 5 and verse 14. You recall on resurrection morning, as the women were departing from the empty sepulchre, the Savior met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. It's their natural response. It's God's people that ought to be our natural response to a sense of the Lord's presence to worship. And finally, Moses was praying in his worship. Look there at verse 9. He's worshipping and he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us. He prayed before the worship. He prayed during the worship. He prayed at the end of the time of worship. As we said before, I believe it's good when we come into God's house that we bow our heads and we're in the attitude of worship and prayer. I believe that's the way to finish our worship. When the final amen has been pronounced, I believe it's good to remain in the attitude of prayer for a few moments. We don't want to rush into the Lord's presence, neither do we want to rush out. What did he pray for? He prayed for the Lord's company. O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us. Let not be our prayer today. Lord, take us from this place of worship, and Lord, go with us. Go with us. Notice his confession. He had just seen the God, the holiness of God, the goodness of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. He had learned all these things on the mount. And what was the result? He said, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin. He'd seen the holiness of God, and when you see the holiness of God, you see your own sinfulness and wickedness and carnality. When you see God's holiness, realize what they are in the light of the holiness of God, surely we come and say, Lord, I am a sinful man. Cleanse me from all my sins. And you have the cleansing. And of course, at the end of the chapter, you have his countenance. When Moses came down the mount, his face shone. He met with God. It's seen the glory of the Lord, and it says his face shone because the Lord had talked with him there. His face shone not only because he had seen the glory of God, but because of the word of the Lord. The word of God he had heard had caused his face to shine. Surely the word of the Lord ought to cause our faces to shine. Be able to say, I've heard from God today. God has answered prayer. Believer, this word has come from my heart. The Lord really spoke to my own heart through the preparation of this message. Whatever other people think or say about our denomination, I want us to maintain the old standards, walk in the old paths, and worship God in a scriptural, biblical way, and in a way that pleases Him. May the Lord help us to do that. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Eternal God and loving Father, we are before Thee again. We've looked into Thy Word. Thy Word, Lord, has spoken to us, challenged us, maybe even rebuked us. But Lord, we take it from Thee. For we live in like the children of Israel, as Moses said, we are indeed a stiff-necked people. We resist the word. O God, may we surrender to Thy word. May we walk in Thy ways, walk in Thy paths. Lord, may we be a people who will worship Thee, the God of heaven, with all of our hearts. Bring us back tonight to worship God and meet with us this evening. Meet with us tonight. May we see the great shepherd, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May we be like Mary, found sitting at his feet, hearing his word. Bless us now as we part the one from the other. Take us to our homes in safety. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.